Psalm, the 13th Psalm this evening. Looking forward to preaching Sunday morning. I'm going to preach on my favorite passage in the Bible Sunday morning. And I got a bunch of favorite passages in the Bible. My favorite single verse in the Bible, I think, is Romans 5:8, and the verses that the Lord used to call me to preach, 2 Timothy chapter 2, there, verses 1 through 4, that's special to me. My life verse is Psalm 27:4, and there's lots of good passages of Scripture in there. They're special to me, but my favorite passage of Scripture I'll preach on Sunday morning. You say, "What is that? What is that, preacher?" I say, "You have to show up Sunday morning to find out." Amen. But looking forward to preaching Sunday morning. Looking forward to preaching tonight. I believe the Lord's given me a message, and we'll be in the 13th Psalm this evening. The 13th Psalm. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now, this particular psalm is an interesting psalm. Throughout the 150 psalms that we find in the Old Testament book here, we find that an author of over 75 of these is given to us by the name of David. He was the king of Israel, God's chosen king for the people of God, and that he was nicknamed among the people the sweet psalmist of Israel for these psalms that he would write. And these psalms, these were songs that they would sing in the temple, that they would sing, that they would lift up and glorify God the same way tonight that we would sing Blessed Assurance and we would sing 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. They would sing these psalms, and many a times we find historical reference regarding the life of David in these psalms, because many of them are prayers. Many of these psalms are prayers from King David, where he's poured his heart out to God, and under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, God told David to record these so that he could give these to the musicians in the temple, and those who worked in the music in the temple. And the superscription over the 13th psalm reads, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David." And by doing a little bit of research or a little bit study about this psalm and about the history and the context behind it, this is one of the psalms that was written that you'll read during the time recorded in the 2 Samuel over there, where David is fleeing for his life from Saul. See, the Israeli people, the Jewish people, they told God that they wanted a king, and so they chose them a king, a man who stood head and shoulders above all the other soldiers in the land, and they chose Saul to be the king. But soon after, through Saul and through his disobedience to God and to the people of God, God rejected Saul as the king, and God anointed himself a king over Israel. He sent a man by the name of Samuel out to the house of Jesse, and he looked among Jesse's sons, and when he had seen all the ones that Jesse had to offer, he said, "Is there not another one to find?" And he said, "Well, there's David, that little red-headed shepherd boy runt. He's out there in the field watching the sheep. You can go out there and look at him if you want." And he went out there, and what he found out in that field tending those sheep was the next anointed king of Israel, the one from whom was prophesied in the Scriptures that the son of David, the root of Jesse, would come. The one through the very lineage of Christ himself would pass through David. This one man, David, was anointed king over Israel. And he wasn't just made and crowned king right then and there in that field as a young shepherd boy after Samuel had anointed him, but rather he had to wait until he would succeed the throne of Saul. And during that, there were great contentions, and Saul knew this and David knew this, but Saul knew better than to go and to try and take the throne from Saul. And so he runs from Saul, and he's obedient to Saul as a king and as a warrior, and he slew many a people in the name of Israel, and he was the right-hand man, so to say, when it came to the armies of the Jewish people. But there came a time when Saul is so jealous and so filled with hate towards David that he's doing anything that he can to find him. I was talking a little bit with Brother Larry earlier today about how wicked of a man Saul had become and how this jealousy had driven him to a place where he literally was killing the people of God and killing the priests of God to try and find this man David. And the Bible records us accounts where David would run and hide in caves, and he would try and escape, and he was doing everything that he could to get away from this death sentence that was surely to befall him. And what we find in the 13th Psalm is David has just about come to the end of his rope. David has just about had as much as he could handle, and he's come to a place where his heart is in so much distress he just cries out to God with this prayer that we find in the 13th Psalm. The Bible says this: "How long, Wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And I believe that as we look into this psalm tonight, as we look into this 13th psalm, this prayer of David, I believe that I can see plenty of times in my life that I've tried to seek after God, and I've found myself in the very same position that David finds himself in this psalm. And I'm sure that if you look close enough this evening as well, that you could see yourself in it as well. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, I pray that you have your will in your way in the service this evening. God, strengthen me. Give me the words to say, the thoughts to think, Father. Just get me out of the way. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, God, and help me to proclaim the Word of God the way that you would have it preached, Lord. And God, we'll give you all the thanks, honor, and glory for it, for you're the only one that's worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. David is pouring his heart out to God. David has reached a place where he's begging and he's crying out to God and he's asking God for an answer and he's saying, God, I need an answer now. I can't go any further. I'm at the end of my rope. And there's four things that I'd like to look at in this short text that we've read tonight that I'd like to point out to you that I believe that we can liken unto ourselves in our own lives. And the first thing that I see is David's plea. David's plea with the Lord. He says, how long will thou forget me? How long will thou forget me? You know, waiting in the Lord in any matter of length is always going to seem like a long time. It doesn't matter if you're waiting on a phone call, on test results, and you know that doctor's office is going to call you back tomorrow. It doesn't matter if you're waiting on a court date or something, or something to go through the legal system, and it's going to take months, and it's going to take years, and it's going to take many days to resolve. It does not matter how long that length of time is. When you're waiting on an answer from God, when you're beseeching the Lord regarding something, it's always going to feel like it's a long time. And it's very easy for us in our carnality, in our finite minds, to try and blame God or to ask God, God, how long is it going to be? I feel forsaken of you. I feel like you've left me alone. Now, the Bible tells us, and believe me here this evening, I believe that Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us, but that doesn't mean that sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel forsaken. Oftentimes the child of God can feel as if they've been forgotten when they are waiting on the Lord. When they're waiting on the Lord, we see David's plea. He says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? He's questioning. He said, it seems like I'm never going to hear from you again. It seems like I'm never going to see you again. It seems like I'm just going to keep running, like I'm just going to be at the end of my rope, like I'm just going to keep doing this for the rest of my life. I don't understand. When's it ever going to end? When will I hear from you again, Lord? David is pouring his heart out. He's pleading with the Lord. He says, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? You ever been in a place, and you might not, you guys might be a lot more spiritual than I am in here this evening, but there's been some times in my life when I've been following God when it didn't always feel like I could feel God right next to me. When it felt like no matter how much I prayed, when it felt like no matter how much I got in my Bible, no matter how much I came and I fellowshiped with my friends, it felt like I just couldn't hear from God, like God was hiding His face from me, that everywhere I tried to look for Him, He was nowhere to be found. Brother Billy Kelly, the old mountain preacher, he used to say, I'd get down to pray and it'd feel like the heavens were made of brass, that my prayers would get up, that they'd hit the heavens and come right back down and fall lifeless to the floor. He'd say, I feel like I couldn't find God anywhere. Job said, he looked in every direction. He said, I can't find the Lord. David's pouring his heart out to God. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? How forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And oftentimes, when we're not immediately rescued from our troubles, we think God's forgotten about us. God's turned His back on us. God's not going to show Himself to us. We're not going to feel the presence of God. It's all over. David said, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" See, David's troubles have resulted in this constant struggle to have to plan his way and his route to keep from avoiding danger. See, he's running from Saul. And Saul is vehemently, he is like passionately chasing after David. He wants David dead more than anything. That is the only thing right now that matters to Saul, is that David is dead. And so he's got all the armies of God. He's pulled them out of the field. He's pulled them out of their jobs and these different things that they're doing. And he's given them all one focus. He says, go after David. Find David. Kill David. And so David, he's doing everything that he can. He's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. He doesn't know where to go. He doesn't know where to look. He doesn't know where to hide, because he doesn't know if the soldiers will be there, if the king's men will be there, if there will be someone there that will rat him out. And he feels like he has nowhere to go. He feels like he has nothing to do. And he says, "How long, O Lord, shall I take counsel in my soul?" He's saying, "God, I'm trying to listen to you. God, I'm trying to follow you, but I just don't know what to do. I just don't know where to go." You know, there's some times in your Christian life, I oftentimes will use this analogy in my life. I say, I'm just trying to keep my head above water. I feel like I'm just trying to keep my head above water. There's going to be some times spiritually in your Christian life that you're going to feel like you're just barely surviving. You're just barely getting by. You're just trying to keep your head above water. You're trying to keep from sinking. You're trying to keep from falling. David said, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart?" David feels defeated. He feels distraught and downtrodden and disheartened. David has reached the end of his rope and he's in a constant struggle. He feels like he cannot catch a break. He says, "Having sorrow in my heart daily." He says, "I can't catch a break." He said, "When I wake up, it's the first thing I think of. When I go to bed, when I get so tired from running from Saul, it's the last thing I'm thinking of. And I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't drink." He said, "This sorrow is in my heart continuously and daily." And there are going to be some times in your Christian life, and if you've never experienced this and you don't know what I'm talking about, but surely enough, if you decide to follow God, there are going to come times in your Christian life when you feel like you can't find God, when you feel like you're forsaken from God, and you feel like you're alone, and you feel like you're at the end of your rope, and you feel like that continual sorrow is weighing on you day after day after day after day, and there's nothing that you can do about it. David is pleading with the Lord. He says, "I can't catch a break. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? You know what David's saying to God? He's saying, "I feel like I'm losing this battle. I feel like I'm getting whooped. I feel like I'm getting beat. I feel like I'm the devil's punching bag. I feel like no matter what I do, I'm always in the loser's corner." David says, "How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" He said, "Why am I losing this battle, God? I need you by my side. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your presence. I need to hear from you, God. How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Sometimes you're going to feel like you're losing the battle. That no matter what you do, you're going to feel like you're on the losing side. This is where David is. This is where David is. Not only do we see David's plea, we see David's petition. David's petition. And we talked a little bit the other night about prayer, last Wednesday night, about how that I believe there's three different types of prayer. And like I said, this is a little bit of Michaelology, so you can take it for what it's worth. But I believe that there are prayers of petition. That's prayers where you make requests. There are prayers of penitence. That's repentance. That's sorrow towards God for the sin that you've done. And I believe that there are prayers of praise. I believe any prayer that you pray will fall under one of those categories. And here, David, he brings his petition before the Lord. He brings his request before the Lord, and he cries out. Look what the Bible says. "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." Lest I sleep the sleep of death. That is an intense statement that David makes.
Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. You know what David's saying? David's saying, God, there ain't nobody that can help me. Anybody else can hear me. Anybody I can bring this request to anybody else, but nobody can help me. You have to be the one that hears this. You have to be the one that answers this. And he says, lighten mine eyes. You know what he's asking for? He's asking for a little touch of grace. In the midst of a trial, in the midst of troubles, in the midst of heartaches, he's asking God. He's saying, God, I need a touch of grace. I need some mercy. I need some grace. He says, lighten mine eyes. He said, why would he need his eyes lightened? He said, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He told his soul is in so much travail and in so much contention, and he's so broken down that he says, I'm literally going to die. I can't take another breath. I can't live another waking moment feeling like this. God, I need you to touch me. I need something or I'm going to die. He makes his petition before the Lord. He says, Lord, hear me. God, I need you. God, I need a touch. God, I need you to do something. You're going to pray some prayers like that. If you haven't already, you're going to pray some prayers like that. You know, a lot of times we're not going to make it without a special touch from God, without a special space of grace, without that supernatural touch. We're not going to be able to survive. We are going to go under. We are going to fall. We are going to succumb to that enemy. David says, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And David says something in the fourth verse, and this is very interesting to me tonight. I want you to hear this, because if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, I want you to hear this. David says, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. When I am moved. We see this part of David's petition in particular reveals to us the motive behind David's prayer. The motive behind David's prayer. We had prayer meeting last week. We talked about getting in our prayer closet, shutting the door, and doing all these things. We talked about the different types of prayer. We reiterated that just a moment ago. But it's important to remember that our motives in prayer have to be pure. Our motives in prayer have to be pure. R.A. Torrey, he wrote in his book, How to Pray, he said, a selfish prayer will rob that prayer of its power. Why are we asking God for the things that we're asking for? Why are we seeking the things that we're seeking after? Is it for our own gain? Is it for our own comfort? Is it for our own benefit? David said, it's not for me. It's not for any of this. He said this. He said, lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. He says, I don't want to give that enemy an occasion to say they've had a victory over God. He said, I don't want them to be able to glory in anything. I want righteousness and your holy name to be exalted. I don't want wickedness and sin to run abroad and for people to look and to say that it was a failure and that it was a letdown. But we see David's motives in these things. David desires that the enemy would have no occasion to glory in the victory over the righteousness or of God's people. His motives in this prayer were pure. He says, God, deliver me. David, why should I deliver you? Because I don't want him to run over your name. Because I want you to get glory. Because I want you to be exalted out of it. Because I want you to be honored with it. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. You know, my greatest fear in backsliding or messing up or doing something wrong is not that that would be the reputation that I would leave behind, okay? It would be that someone would say, well, I thought what he had was real. I thought all that stuff he was preaching was real. I thought he meant what he was preaching. He must not have. The entire focus of your life ought to be to honor and glorify God no matter what. No matter what.
And David, as he makes this petition for God, it's important that we realize his motives were pure. He says, I don't want to give the devil any occasion to glory. I don't want to give the wicked any occasion to blaspheme. He says, Lord, I need you to give me this victory. And David, who is broken, David, who is disheartened, David, who is discouraged, in all these things, as he makes this prayer before God, he remembers the promises of God. So we've seen David's plea. We've seen David's petition. But I'd like for us to see David's promise. In verse number 5, the Bible says this, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." You know what he was talking about when he was talking about that mercy? He was talking about all those times that the enemy could have wiped him out and he didn't. David got to thinking while he was down in that cave and he was scared and he was running from those soldiers and he was running to those running from Saul and all his people. He got to thinking, Brother Larry, he's like, you know what? God's never let me down before. God's always been there for me in the past. He got to thinking about being in the middle of the heat of all those battles when Saul had him go get all those scalps, and he thought to himself as he put on his armor and as he girded up his loins and he went out to the battlefield, he thought, man, the Lord's going to have to help me if I'm going to make it through this. And every time he came out victorious, he thought about that time as a little shepherd boy, God told him to go out into the valley of Elah to grab those 5 smooth stones and to sling that one at that giant, and he took down the greatest warrior that the world had ever seen in Goliath. He said, hey, God's never let me down before. God's never come up short. God's never not been there when I needed him to be there. He says this in verse number 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. Amen. I think a lot of times when we get overwhelmed, we feel like we're at the end of our rope. It'd be good for us just to remember what God's done for us. Just remember, He's kept us. He's kept us. He's sealed us. We belong to Him. He ain't going to let us down. Amen?
Amen.
He said, I remembered thy mercy. This same David would pen in the 37th Psalm, he said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And listen to me tonight. God made a lot of promises to David.
Amen.
You go over into 2 Samuel chapter number 7. You look at the promise that he made to David and to the Jewish people. Hey, listen to me. Those are promises God's still going to keep too. Amen?
Amen.
And God makes those promises to David. And you know what David's saying in his old age as he pens that 37th Psalm? He's saying, hey, listen, I've walked with the Lord for a long time. I've had my share of dark days and my share of troubles. I've spent plenty of time on the mountaintop. I've spent plenty of time down in the valley. But he said, God's always been merciful. God's always been there. God's always been there to help me. And he remembered the promise of God. But I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Before David is even delivered from Saul, he begins to praise God that God's going to deliver him. He'd say, you know what, Brother Tom? God's always been there for me. He's always been there for me in the past. I know He's going to be there in the future for me. And I imagine he stands up and he pulls those scales off his eyes and he walks out in that sunshine and he begins to lift his hands and praise God. That word salvation in this text, it means deliverance. It means he was taken from something. He was brought to safety. Before he was ever delivered out of the hand of enemy, he begins to praise God because he knows he's faithful. Because he knows he keeps his promises. Amen. We've seen his plea, we've seen his promise, we've seen his plea, his petition, his promise. I want us to look at David's praise. Verse number 6. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord. Hold on a minute. This doesn't look like the same David in verse number 1, does it? That David that said, God, where are you hiding? God, I can't find you. God, I can't see you. How long are you going to forsake me? How long are you going to hide your face from me? It's not that David anymore. Now he says, you know what, Lord? I'm going to sing to you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you the honor. I'm going to give you the glory for it. He says, I will sing unto the Lord. God's going to put a song in your heart that no worldly strife, that no worldly struggles could ever take away from you. If you persist in your communion with God and your pursuit of God, it's going to result in a peace that will pass every bit of understanding. It doesn't matter what the devil and what the world will throw at you. Your heart will still be able to rejoice and say, I will sing unto the Lord. Amen.
He says, I'll sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Amen. When we feel down and we feel defeated, we need to remember how good the Lord's been to us. You know, if we got what we deserve tonight, we'd be in hell.
Amen.
Every single one of us would. David is down in the molly grubs. He said, I can't find him. He's forsaken me. He's turned his back on me. And he spends a little bit of time in prayer. He comes out singing. And he said, God's dealt bountifully with me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God's done so much more for me than I deserve. Amen. God's been so much better to me than I ever, ever, ever deserved. I bet you and I can think of a time or two in our lives when He's gone exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We ask God to answer a prayer request and He goes above and beyond and He answers it and He amazes us and He does all these wondrous works and these miracles in our life. And so many times we still find ourselves in a place saying, God, can you hear me? Do you care about me? Do you love me? Have you forgotten about me? We need to look at David. We need to look at his praise tonight. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? Nobody looking around but me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord told me to preach this tonight. I don't know what anybody in here might be struggling with. I don't know what they might be going through. I don't know what exactly it is that you're facing. I don't know if you're in the valley. I don't know if you're on the mountaintop. I don't know if you're in a place where you're singing to the Lord, where you're praising God for all His goodness and His grace or in His mercy, or if you're in a place where you're saying, God, I can't find you. God, I can't see you. God, I can't hear you. God, I can't feel you anymore. God, I need you to touch me. Maybe you're asking God for a space of grace. Maybe you're asking God for a special touch from heaven. That might be you in here this evening. If it is, I invite you. Won't you come up to the altar? Won't you come to the altar here this evening and get a hold of God and say, God, I need you to touch me. God, I need you to speak to me. God, I need to hear from you. God, I'm in the valley and I need out. And Lord, I need you to give me peace while I'm here, Lord. So I don't want to give the devil occasion to glory. I don't want to give the world occasion to glory in its wickedness and its hatred for God. Lord, won't you touch me? God, won't you help me?
Be in here this evening. You're not saved. As far as you know, you're on your way to hell tonight. You have no clue whether or not if you died, heaven would be your home. Would you be honest in here this evening? Would you raise your hand? Would you say, preacher, I'm not sure where I would spend eternity if I died right now. I don't know. Would there be any among us in here this evening? Raise your hand and say, preacher, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I know I've been saved by the grace of God. Would you raise your hand? God bless those hands. Would there be any among us in here tonight and say, preacher, some part of that message or another spoke to my heart. I needed something that was said tonight. Would you raise your hand? God bless those hands. If you need to pray, I invite you to come and pray.